changes, wholesale changes? Do you stay the course?
Well, right now, collectively, you know, we, as a group of coaches and players, had long talks about it. When you have two bad games like that, everyone's got to start with themselves, starting with me. And I've got to make sure that I continue to work on putting these guys in position to make plays, and individually they're working on making those plays. So you cannot panic, you cannot overreact, and you cannot underreact. And that's the fine line that I'm walking right now. We're looking at everything and everybody. What moves are available to make? Are they needed to, you know, are they warrant that move? The other day we didn't do a lot of things well. There was not one place or one position that was at fault. And I think all of us own it. All of us own our own mistakes. I've got to do a better job planning and putting these guys in spots, and they've got to do a better job executing. We all own our own. I got a good group of men in there that are all owning their mistakes.
Is your expectation that you'll stick with Eric Rowe at outside corner?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's time for him to go out there and see what we have. We, you know, he played 14 snaps, matched up on Megatron last week. They caught four on him. And I think Eric grew a little bit. Two of those catches were in the field, which Eric was way too soft and far off, and we talked about it. He just got to get up there and believe in himself and challenge him. He had two in the red zone. I think Eric is one of our best fade stop player in the low red zone. The one that he got caught on him, I think Eric played a great down that made a great catch on. He really is. He's a long, tall, good leaper. The other one was a bad down all the way around. He missed at the line, and the help that was supposed to be over the top got froze by a look-off and wasn't there for him. So the 3rd and 17 was a rough one. But I do believe in Eric, and I do think we'll grow him. And I think as a young guy, he'll get more and more confidence, and we'll get more and more confidence in him.
Will Maxwell travel now?
Depends who the matchup is. You know, Zach, as you go through matchups, like early on, I actually didn't think, you know, Golden Tate and Eric were a great matchup because you got a smaller, quicker guy. So that goes in and out of what the matchup is, how big they are. Eric's a tall, long body that actually matches up well with the longer, taller receivers. But we will, I mean, at the, I think somewhere in the second series of the third quarter, we just made the wholesale change to match Max up and let Eric go on the other side. So we'll move in and out of that as we see needed. And as the game goes on, you look to see which matchups you're struggling at. And that's all over the board. That's from the nickel slot to the outside ones to the running backs and the backers. We're constantly looking at the matchups that favor us and that we're struggling with, and then we move accordingly.
Bill, what went into that decision? Obviously, when Carroll goes down, was there any thought given to moving Max over to...
Absolutely. We talked about it right from the get-go. But it goes back to that long body that Eric is, and we picked him for his ability, his speed, his leap ability, his ball skills, his length. And when you have a monster like you have in Megatron, that isn't a bad matchup. Now, most of the time I had help with him. I can't give him help on every snap, because there's other scenarios. So he had help a lot, and sometimes he didn't. He actually did better without the help. He had better snaps when he didn't have the help than when he actually had the help to him. But after a while, after that second touchdown, then we made the switch and let Maxwell go get him.
It was
talked about from the get-go. Go ahead, Les.
Can you do anything about your inside linebacking? It just seems like neither Michael nor Kiko is really in sync with what's going on.
You know, Kiko played better, and I think overall we've got to you know, Michael struggled a couple times in coverage, and those are matchups that sometimes you win, and we started losing that one. We gave safety help after that. We have to collectively get that short up, you know, get that piece better. Those three guys, I believe in those three guys, and they are the answer in there. I've got to find the right matchup with those two in there, or three of them, and we've just got to get better play collectively out of all of us. And again, Les, it's not only one position that was at fault the other night. It was collective.
What are some of Michael's issues in the past coverage? It used to be something that he
Michael, I still believe in Michael. Michael can cover, and Michael will continue to cover backs out of backfield. He, you know, he had a tough matchup. Credit goes to the running back and some of the moves he made on him. But Michael will be fine in coverage. He has the athleticism. He has the understanding of leverage and where his help is. And you know, he had a bad day.
As far as Eric Rowe is concerned, I mean, it seems like your plan was to bring him along more slowly and not thrust him into the position.
Yeah.
Obviously, circumstances change that. But, I mean, was that kind of the idea, like you would just keep, you know, growing him as the season went on and maybe he wouldn't?
It was. Like all of them, you grow them as fast as you can and you play them when they show you they're ready to play or they have to play. And they really take you know, somebody's got to grow the guys, and you take lumps when you have the young guys playing, like anything. And you're going to have some mistakes made by him. You're going to have some growing pains. But you're also going to see him make some plays. I'm excited about Eric and the plays he's capable of making, and he showed us he can make. And hopefully that shows up, you know, Sunday.
Collectively, how much do you have to worry about the confidence of your group after the last two games?
You know, when you have two losses like we had and played as poorly defensively as we had, human nature is your confidence is going to be shaken. What we can rely on and go back to and talk about is, you know, the game we had, the first Dallas game against Oromo, the Drew Brees game, the Eli Manning game in New York, and the times that we had the success with the same calls, with the same guys, with the same tools. And we just have to get back to that. The only way you get confidence, though, is in making plays on Sunday. And that's where the energy picks up, and that's where your confidence grows. So one player at a time, one call at a time. Again, putting them in a better position to make plays and then having them make it will gain our confidence, and we'll get back to where we were.
On the first play after Nolan got hurt, I think it was Golden Tate caught a slant.
Yeah.
What do you want to see differently out of Eric on that type of
Eric's play? Usually great at putting his hands on people and holding his inside leverage. He lost his inside leverage. He didn't get his hands on. And he's, again, a small, quick guy that he's got to make sure he's in control of his leverage, and he lost his leverage, and then it ran away from him.
No, after going into the Tampa game, I think you guys were eighth in the league in points allowed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where does this come from? I know there's no one easy answer, but, I mean, this is like 2 weeks in a row to have that after the way you guys played the first nine.
I know. If I had that answer, trust me. I mean, I guess the encouraging part is for those eight games, like you just talked about, these men did that. These men in this scheme were capable of doing it, and we were calling it better and executing it better. That's why we can get it back to where it was. But right now we've got to overcome and get through a lapse in confidence and get back to playing fast, physical. We haven't tackled as well in the last 2 weeks, and the turnovers are non-existent. And those are two big pieces of who we are. So our tackling has to get better, and so does our turnovers.
Where do you see that as far as it seems like that's kind of dropped off too?
You know, the pressure wasn't bad. As far as they were throwing the ball quick, and there was, you know, I blitzed almost 50% of the time trying to get the ball out and getting some matchups. And there were some unblocked pressures, but the ball was out. So they had a nice plan, and they were doing it. And we got some pressures, and he played a hell of a game. The quarterback really did throw the ball well, execute it quick. We've got to do a better job. And, you know, they had maybe four screens, a couple quicks. You know, it was back and forth. And the actual individual pass rushing, if that's what you're talking about, was not poor. It was coming out pretty quick.
Slant has been giving you problems a lot this year, and you're going up against a quarterback Sunday.
Right, slant,
as good as they come with that. What's been the problem there?
It's been a little bit different as the different players that have been beat on it within the different calls. There's not one answer. Like if you talk about the one that Eric Rowe got beat on, he lost his inside leverage. It's about leverage. It's about where your help is. It's about technique. You know, slants and fade stops are about technique ball. So we just have to get that. We've had some rub routes and concepts that we've got to fight through the pick concept that happens. But it's different for everyone.
What's the turnovers, Bill? Again, through the first eight games, you were among the league leaders with like 20, whatever it was. We're getting three a game.
Yeah.
None in the last three. Is that something that you guys aren't doing? Is it the offenses are protecting the ball better against you now? I mean, is there a reason for that? Or?
You know, we've got a big share off the quarterbacks. We've had some caused and not recovered them. Two games ago, I told you we had five turnover opportunities. In the Detroit game, we had none. And that's more discouraging. If you have five and don't get five, well, at least you're in a position to cause and get the turnover. Against Detroit, nothing went well, and we did not have any turnovers or opportunities. They protected the ball well when they ran with it, and the quarterback in the pocket protected it well when we were close to him.
Hey, Bill, you talked about this being a tempo defense. What does that mean to you, and what measures do you go to become a tempo defense? How do you become that?
Well, we practice tempo every day, and what we do, that's just a lot of reps real fast on us. So when a team goes tempo on us, we are built for, we're in a condition to handle the tempo and everything that goes with it, and we also communicate better under the tempo. So we may get some tempo from New England. And we practice against it every day, so I think that's what we're built for.
So that doesn't mean playing opposite of a tempo offense? Or what measures do you go to account for the fact that you are working opposite a tempo offense?
I think we talked about this earlier. If you talk about reps and how many snaps were on the field, is that what you're mm-hmm. in that area? We're in control of how long a drive is, the defense is. Not how many times, but the series, there should be 12 series in every game. That's the average. We are at 12 or lower in every game. So that's not an issue. We're not defending more than any other buddy. We have to get those three and outs, four and outs, five and outs. When you get extended downs because we're on the field, that's where we hurt ourselves. So the tempo conversation, and I say this many times, they don't affect us unless it's a bunch of series, more series than other people. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The drive itself is 100% on the defensive coaches and players.
You're facing one of the best quarterbacks at the line
yeah.
in terms of changing plays based on what he sees pre-snap. How do you guys defend that? Do you have to stay in your base more?
We've got to move. We have to be ready. They not only change it on the line. It's one of the things that make them great. Brady's been in the system for 16, 17 years. They have this thing wired. They've got it wired where they not only change the play at the line, but in between series, they can change the whole plan. They go from having a two tight end, two back plan, to empty, spread out, every other series. So you are defending by series a plan of attack that's coming at you. So we have a lot of confidence in our scheme and our flexibility and the different things we can go in and out of, and we'll have to do that. We'll have to keep it moving. When you face these top-notch quarterbacks that are they're really coordinators on the field, you've got to move it around a little bit on them.
At what point, if any, would you ever consider like a drastic change, like a philosophical change, playing softer, pass coverage and that kind of thing to try to?
I think the conversation a lot of times is why we play single high like we do, and with pressures, the dilemma you're always in my chair is. Let's say the fifth guy. I'm going to add the fifth guy to the rush, or I'm going to add the fifth guy to coverage and help people in coverage and only rush four. Or I could go and just rush three and add more help. So you're going in and out of it. When you want a pressure and blitz and attack, it almost has to go to single high. There's a couple versions of split safety, but you get into a little bit of a thin there. Matter of fact, the big play in the Detroit game in the first quarter, I believe, where the running back guy, it looked like Connor Barwin was the closest, was a middle open pressure that is very vulnerable when they get five out. So most of the time when you pressure, you're going to have single high. So we pressured half, and I'm more single high then. Some of the top defenses in the league right now major in single high, the Jets, the Broncos, those guys. So you have to move in and out of it as matchups show themselves. So I was more single high against Detroit because I was pressuring more. And we've had some success in the pressure game, and we've had split safety work. So I have played soft and off many times. Matter of fact, the two that Eric gave up on Megatron were a split safety softer zone coverage. So you have to move in and out of them. I'm not solely on single high pressure. We've done both. I do more of that because I believe in it. I believe in attacking and trying to put pressure on a quarterback. It didn't work the other night, but I'm not going to come off attacking. You have to have a mix. You attack, you fall back. I say it all the time. It's about disrupting their rhythm. Sometimes disrupting their rhythm is faking blitzing and not blitzing. Other times it is blitzing. So I've got to do a better job of getting the rhythm of the game and disrupting their rhythm.
As good as Brady is, and he's the best, how do they continue to succeed despite losing one playmaker after another? And a lot of these guys are just average guys someplace else.
Yeah, it's system-oriented. It really is. And Brady's in control at the line. And these guys have to know what he's telling them to do. And he adjusts routes at the line. He adjusts protections at the line and puts them in where he likes the matchup. And it's constantly moving. And everybody that gets plugged in has to play their role and understand their role. And then the system goes and he runs the system and is about as accurate and a good a decision maker as there is in the league. And I think that's why they move it so well is he finds the matchup, he sees the leverage, he throws it very accurately, and he gets it out very quick. That ball is out as quick as it can come. And the reason they have the success, no matter who's playing out there, is because of Brady and how he runs it and how he operates it.
Malcolm was on the radio. It seems like he's getting more hits, absorbing more hits than he has.
Yeah, it's week to week. Sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't. He took some hits the other night.
Malcolm was on the radio last night.
Yeah.
Suggested that you become too predictable in the red zone. How do you feel about that?
Malcolm had a nice night, huh? We are no more or less predictable than anybody else. We've got we show blitz. There's only a couple things you do down there. Anybody does. You're either bringing everybody, or you're dropping and helping out, or you're selling out for the run. So we move in and out of different coverages, and we show blitz and drop back. And we haven't had a good red zone. Again, we haven't had many. You can talk about red zone, but you also talk about third down. It's not predictability because we do have enough scheme down there that I think we move in and out of it. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. I respect Malcolm, his opinion. I respect all the guys and their opinions. And I actually enjoy getting the feedback from all the guys and see how we can make it better. Because at the end of the day, it's about us getting it done and getting the win.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.